please, to the Lord in prayer. Our Father and our God in heaven, we come to thee today. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy, your goodness to us that finds us in the house of the Lord today. Just, O God, we pray you'll come and help us as we seek to worship thee. We pray you'll tune our hearts to sing thy praise just now. Answer prayer. Be with us now. In the Saviour's name we pray. Amen. Hymn number 35 as we commence our service this morning. Hymn number 35, page 189. Glory be to God the Father. Glory be to God the Son. Glory be to God the Spirit. Great Jehovah, three in one. Hymn number 35. And we'll stand as we worship, please. Before the Lord and seek his help. Our Father and our God, we come into thy presence this morning to give thee praise and glory, Lord, that's due alone to thy great name. We come, O God, to worship thee. We come, O God, to lift our hearts in praise and thanksgiving to thee for all that thou hast done for us. We thank the Lord today that we are the redeemed of God. We thank the Lord for each one in this meeting who's saved. Rejoice, O God, for that moment when you took us out of the dunghill of sin. You brought us into the fold of God. We thank the Lord today we're saved, not just for a little time. The Lord, we thank thee that today we're saved for all time. We thank the Lord we're saved for all eternity. We thank thee, O God, that you have given to us eternal life. And so, Lord, for everything that the Lord has done for us, not only in saving us, but Lord, your keeping power, your keeping hand that's been upon us, Lord, right until this very moment, we lift our hearts in thanksgiving. We thank you, Lord, today that we can give glory to thee. We thank you, Lord, today that, Lord, you've so worked in our hearts, Lord. Lord, you've so changed us. Lord, you've so transformed us. And so, Lord, we lift our hearts to glorify thy great and thy worthy name. Our Father, we pray that you will be pleased just to be with us this morning. Meet with us, O God, we pray. Lord, as we come to worship thee, it is our prayer that as we come to the house of God today, that we'll meet with the God of the house. Lord, that you'll come and meet with us today. Come, O God, we pray by thy Holy Spirit. Move in this place, Lord. Lift us on into the heavenlies with thee today. We ask, O God, that you'll translate us, Lord, from the earthly, from those things, Lord, that would discourage us. Lift us, O God, we pray. Lift us higher, Lord, onto that higher plane of love and service for thee today. Our Father, we pray that you'll bless our gathering together. We ask, O God, that even through the singing of the Word of God, through the preaching of the Word of God, we pray, Lord, be pleased to be with us and help us, O Lord, that everything will be to glorify and honour the great name of our Saviour. We thank thee, O God, for each one gathered. We thank thee, Lord, for your mercies today. We thank thee, Lord, for watching over us and, Lord, for bringing us safely to the house of God today. Lord, we pray that you'll give us a good day, a blessed day, Lord, in the house of the Lord. Do our hearts good, we pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that we might, Lord, have that experience, Lord, even as those two on the Emmaus Road had, of the Lord himself drawing near. Lord, we need thee. Come, O God, we pray. And Lord, draw near to us today, we pray. Lord, we pray you'll remember, Lord, those who cannot be with us today. Remember, Lord, those who are unwell in their homes. Remember, Lord, those who are no longer able to gather with us as once they did. Bless our dear elderly folk. We thank thee for their faithfulness. We ask, O God, that even, Lord, now at this particular stage in their lives, may they continue to know the hand of God and the blessing of the Lord being upon them. Lord, be with us, we pray. Remember this area, this community, particularly, Lord, as we come up to our gospel mission in a number of weeks' time. We just pray, Lord, that you be pleased, Lord, to go before, prepare the way, bless the invitations as they're given out. Help us, Lord, to invite people. Help us, Lord, to bring people. Help us, Lord, to do what we can to bring the lost onto the preaching of the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we pray that this time of gospel preaching, Lord, will be a time greatly used of God. Lord, we pray that you'll save the lost. Lord, we pray it'll even be a time when the people of God, Lord, will be encouraged, Lord, and motivated, Lord, even in our service for the Lord. Bless the evangelist. We pray, Lord, you'll help him even as he would prepare his heart. Lord, we pray you'll come upon him. And Lord, that night after night of that gospel mission, Lord, that he'll know the help of heaven and he'll know the power of God resting upon him. O God, we ask. And so, our Father, we pray, come and do our hearts good. Lord, meet with us today. Remember this area. We pray, Lord, you'd be pleased just to, Lord, work in this community, work in this district, Lord, across Ballyhackamore, and Lord, indeed, across all of East Belfast and all of our capital city at this time. Lord, turn us, O God, turn us, O God, we ask of thee. Lord, bring us back, Lord, to that place where we ought to be and where we need to be for the Saviour. So be with us today. Remember, not only here, but across our land. Remember, Lord, those who are faithfully serving thee today. Remember, Lord, every faithful witness of the cross. Encourage them and be with them today. Remember, Lord, every layman, every student, Lord, as they would preach the Word of God, every minister of the gospel. We pray, Lord, that signs will follow the going forth of thy word. Our Father, we pray that you'll remember over on the mainland, in England, in Scotland, in Wales. Pray for our brother Philip there in London today. Be with him and encourage him. Bless him, we ask of thee. Remember, Lord, the works down south. Remember the little work there on the Isle of Man. Remember, Lord, the mission stations of the cross today across every nation of this world. Encourage, Lord, those that are serving thee, wherever they are serving thee today. And, Lord, those that are preparing for future service, just go with them. Prepare their hearts, O God, we pray. We ask, O God, as well for the persecuted church. Lord, those who are under great trial for their faith at this time, O God, we pray that you'll encourage them, Lord, defeat the plans of evil and wickedness, Lord, that has been set against them. And, O God, we pray that you will be pleased, Lord, to overthrow the plans of evil men. And, Lord, we pray you'll bring their plans to naught. Lord, build up the Church of Christ. Lord, lead us on. Take us forward, O God, we pray. And Lord, may we see God moving. May we see God answering prayer. And Lord, may we see the Lord building his own church as he has promised so to do. So be with us just now. Continue, O God, we pray, as we seek thy face, as we read thy word, as we sing thy praise. O God, we pray that everything will be to the glory and to the honour of thy great name. Hear and answer prayer. For we ask it in the name of our Saviour, and for his honour and glory alone we pray. Amen. Amen. You have a copy of the Word of God this morning. We're turning to the book of Genesis, please. Genesis and the chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39. And we come back again to our studies in the life of Joseph. Let's read together from verse 7, Genesis chapter 39, and the verse number 7. Genesis chapter 39, verse 7. There we read. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept anything back from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And it came to pass, and she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her, or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. She caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand that she and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, "See, he hath brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass when he heard that I had lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his lord came home. She spake unto him according to these words, saying, "The Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, "After this manner did thy servant to me," that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to bless the reading of his word to all of our hearts. Let me at this stage give you a warm welcome to our morning service. We're glad to see you in the house of the Lord today. We pray the Lord will bless you and meet with you as you have gathered with us. To any who are visiting with us, we extend to you that very special welcome today. You are very welcome here. We pray the Lord will bless you richly, and thank you for being with us. Also, to those who are watching online, we welcome you as well this morning. Can I just go through some matters, please, as we seek to let you know of some matters coming up in the not too distant future. But do remember the services as they continue today. We have our Sunday school over in Redburn this afternoon, 2:30. Please do remember that. Then our gospel meeting this evening at 6 o'clock. We'd love to see you back again in God's house this evening for the preaching of the gospel. Come yourself and seek to bring others with you, please, for the gospel meeting tonight. We have the season of prayer beforehand at 6 o'clock. God's people, please do plan to be with us for that season of prayer. I'll be here to preach tonight, and our brother George Edgar will be along to sing. This is George's first time, I believe, in Sandown, and you'll be blessed by his singing as he comes tonight. And then after the meeting tonight, we're going to have a further and final special season of prayer for our gospel mission. We've been having these over the past number of months on a Sunday night, and so we're going to have one further season of prayer tonight after a Sunday meeting for the gospel mission. So if you can, we're behind for that special season of prayer after the meeting tonight for our gospel campaign. Then as well, at 9 o'clock, there's a youth rally in the Martyrs, and God willing, I'll be speaking at that meeting tonight. Then on Tuesday evening is our Bible study and prayer meeting. Love to see you, and we encourage, we appeal to God's people, please join with us on a Tuesday night for our seasons of prayer. We have much to pray for, and so please plan to be with us on Tuesday night at 8 o'clock. Then can I remind our committee, our session, that there is a committee meeting on Friday night. That's this Friday night at 7 p.m. here in the church. Next Sunday, quarter past 10, our Sunday school Bible class, 11:30, morning worship, and then 6:30, our gospel service. I'll be preaching, God willing, both of the meetings, and do remember as well the Sunday school in Redburn next Sunday afternoon. Next Sunday night, our brother David Warwick will be here to sing, God willing. Can I thank all those who came and helped in any way on Friday night with the ladies' meeting? The ladies had a very good time, blessed time. And thank you to all those who came, all those who helped with the supper as well afterwards. And also those who purchased items in the craft fair that was there. £162 was raised for the school in Uganda through the various items that you purchased. So thank you sincerely for doing that. Then a little up ahead, there's the seniors' trip, that's Wednesday, the 29th of May. And so the menus are available today. They're in an envelope there in the recording room. Yep. So if you're planning to go, you take one of those envelopes with you, choice of meal available, ticket, and then put your menu and your money, £25 each, put it back into the envelope and give it back to Colin or Hazel as soon as possible, please. So that's Wednesday, the 29th of May, and if you fall into that category, or even if you don't fall into that category, or nearly falling into that category, or whatever way you feel that particular day, you're welcome to join with us for that trip, seniors trip, on Wednesday, the 29th of May. So please do remember the menus, take them with you today, get them filled out, and get them back to Hazel or Colin as soon as possible, please. Now, with me not being here last week, there are some things that I didn't get announcing that I want to announce, and also to embarrass some people as well. And there's one of those people looking very crossly at me just right at this moment, caught her eye there. Helen Scott had a particular birthday, one of those significant birthdays with a zero at the end of it. I'm not telling you what goes before it, that's none of your business. But Helen had a significant birthday last weekend. To you, Helen, a very happy birthday to you. She's got her head down there, and I'm going to be get a tongue lashing on the way out, but that's okay, don't worry. I do all of this, you see, to get you more birthday presents, so you never know what may come as a result. But happy birthday for last weekend to Helen. And then also Derek and Gillian. Now they did, well, they do have birthdays, like, but they had an anniversary, a wedding anniversary, one of those significant wedding anniversaries, again with a zero at the end of it, and I'll not tell you what the number is in front of it, but it's a right big number anyway. So happy wedding anniversary to you both for last weekend as well, I believe, and I'm not sure if anybody else has any significant birthdays. Please, if there are those birthdays and I forget about them or miss them, you be sure and let me know, because we want to celebrate and rejoice with everybody. We're all a family here, and so we want to join together with everybody in their celebrations. A few other matters, please. Do you remember our gospel mission coming up very soon? Sunday the 12th of May through to Sunday the 19th of May. 2 Sundays at 6:30, Monday to Friday, each night at 8 o'clock, no meeting on the Saturday night. Our evangelist is the Reverend William McCrae, and this is one of the main events of our 60th anniversary year, and so we wanted you to take this mission to heart. We've been praying for it, planning for it, it's now coming up very quickly. The invitations are now here, and so what I want you to do today is I want you to take some of these with you and invite people along. I want you, as we've been asking you to do, to pray that the Lord would lead you to someone. Just ask the Lord to burden your heart for someone to invite along to the gospel mission. And so you can plant that seed in their minds and then remind them again closer to the time. Take a number of these with you, arm yourself with them, and then you can ask them along. And use this little invite, this little card, as an opportunity to invite them along to the mission. We'll be having then outreach around the area starting next week, not this incoming week, but next week, next Tuesday morning, God willing, and also next Thursday evening, God willing. So next Tuesday morning, we'll meet in the church here at 10 o'clock, and then also on Thursday night, we'll be meeting as well. So if you can help us with that, there'll also be other times in the week that follows that will have outreach as well. But for next week, Tuesday, so far, next Tuesday, Tuesday week and Thursday week, we'll have those special times of outreach. But if you want to take these with you, use them and invite people along, then please do feel free to do that. Missionary Council offering last week came to £428.60, and thank you for that offering last week. Also in relation to that, the latest edition of the Missionary Council news update is available, bringing you up to date with all the various missionary works. Take those with you. On the Saturday the 27th, that's this Saturday coming, for the young people from 18 to 30, there's a special event organised by the Christian Institute up in the Donabri Hotel in Antrim. It's at 7:30. There are some leaflets there, and I'll go through the details, but you are welcome along to that, Transforming Truths, and that's organised by the Christian Institute this Saturday at 7:30. Then also, if I can remind you as well about summer camp coming up at the end of July. If you know of anybody that would fall into the category between 8 to 16, somebody in your family, maybe a friend, a neighbour, a son, a grandson, or a niece or a nephew that would be like to go to summer camp, then you see Kyle or Anna and get more details and get the forms in for that. So do remember summer camp, the last full week in July, and seek to advertise it and promote it as best as you can. Can I, on a personal note, thank you, first of all, for your prayers for us while we were away in Kenya a few weekends ago. Thank you for your prayers. We had very good meetings, good time, as we marked the end of the Patterson's time there in Kenya. The Lord was with us, and we're thankful for the Lord for his hand upon us during that time to Kenya. Also, thank you for your prayers for us as a family, on behalf of all of my family, for your prayers over the loss, the death of my grandfather last weekend. Thank you to all who contacted us, sent cards and contacted us and attended the funeral. Thank you sincerely for all your kindness and your love shown toward us. Do remember the offering boxes, they're available there as you leave for your tithes and your offerings. I think these are all the announcements, and we make them as always subject to the will of the Lord. Let's sing another hymn, please. Hymn number 413. This time, hymn number 413. Take time to be holy. Speak oft with the Lord. Abide in him always and feed on his word. 413 in your hymn book, page 343, or the words will be on the screen as well. Let's stand together after we get the introduction. Turning back again, please, to Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39. I want to look today at the subject of the test of purity. A most unsavoury event and occurrence in the life of this young lad, Joseph. With the Word of God open before us, just still our hearts, please, and ask for His help. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank Thee again for Thy Word. We praise Thee, O God, that we have the instruction, and yea, Lord, even the warning from the Scriptures of truth as we seek, Lord, to take time to be holy. Our Father, we pray that You'll help each one, Lord, that knows Thee, loves Thee, and see it by Thy grace and by the blood of Christ, Lord. You'll help us to live, Lord, those lives that are holy, holy unto the Lord. Lord, help us in our studies today as we, Lord, come to this event in the life of young Joseph. Pray, Lord, that You would be pleased, Lord, to seek to teach us, instruct us, and Lord, guide us aright in the Word of God. O God, we realize the awful attacks of the devil that come our way. So, Lord, we pray that even through Thy Word, that You will teach us, Lord, how to live for Christ in a sinful and an evil and wicked generation. Be with us just now. Help us, O God, we ask. In the Saviour's name we pray. Amen. Amen. As the young Joseph had arrived into Egypt, he did so at a time when the nation was at its height. Its height economically and its height powerfully. But while it was a place of great industry, Egypt was a place of great business, yet it was also a place that was overrun with paganism and idolatry. But it was also a grossly immoral society. And Joseph was about to find out just how immoral this society was. And how that it had reached into the very heights and the very corridors of power in the country. In our last study, we saw how that this young lad, who had been removed from his home, removed from his family, brought into very unfamiliar surroundings, yet he remained true and he remained faithful to the Lord. And he had that wonderful testimony that the Lord was with him. Well, Joseph was just about to find out how much he really needed the presence of the Lord. He was going to find out, in the situation that we look at today, just how much he was going to prove the presence of the Lord being with him. Because you see, what Joseph encountered here in these verses that we read together was something that he had never encountered before. This was going to be a real trial and a real test of his faith. It was going to test his purity, and it was going to test his commitment and stand for the Lord. Last time we left Joseph in a place of blessing and in a place of prosperity. Potiphar had saw how this young man could be trusted. He saw something different in this young man's life. He saw how that the Lord was with him. And so Joseph was promoted to a very high place in the land. Joseph was being blessed. And as we read at the very end of verse 6, he was being well favoured. But you see, hot on the heels of that blessing came the attack of Satan. And that is so often the case, folks. Because whenever the Lord blesses us, Satan will be out to attack us. And that's exactly what he did in the life of Joseph. And what an attack it was. Satan does not want to see God's people being blessed. Satan does not want to see God's people prospering in this life. And so he will do everything within his power to seek to destroy the testimony and the purity of the child of God. He will never give up. Maybe today you're thinking, having come through some test and some trial that Satan has brought into your life and seeking to attack you, that there'll come a time in your life, there'll come a time in your Christian life, and it'll get easier. It won't get easier. It won't. As far as the attacks of Satan are concerned, he will always be out to attack you. Every day. Every day, as we've often said, is a battleground. Every day is a test of our faith. Every day is a day when we'll battle against sin. Every day is a day when we'll battle against Satan. But most of all, every day is a day when we'll battle against self. He had already faced the greatest battle with his brothers. But now he comes to this point in his life. And he's faced with the greatest battle. And the battle with himself. And as he faced this battle, you see, Joseph had a choice to make. Yes, he was a good lad. He was a godly man, but that didn't mean that he didn't have that old sinful nature still within him. He did. We all do. And none of us will, this side of eternity, ever be sinlessly perfect. We'll all battle with sin. We'll all battle with Satan. And we'll all battle with self every day until the Lord calls us home. But in that battle, we have a choice to make. Joseph had a choice to make when faced with sin concerning himself. This time in Joseph's life with his greatest test to date. A test that would really show how true, how loyal he was. A test not with the lawmakers of Egypt, but to show how loyal and true he was, not to Potiphar, but to his Lord. It was a test of personal purity as he faced temptation on a massive scale. As we consider this temptation that Joseph had to deal with, I want us to notice some things about it. First of all, notice with me the force of this temptation. The force of this temptation. Notice just how forceful it was, because that really will set the scene for the rest of this account. As we think about the force of it, notice it was physical. Verse 7. Came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." This was a direct challenge to Joseph from the wife of Potiphar, whose lusts and passions had obviously been aroused by the sheer good looks of this young man, Joseph. And so she challenges Joseph to physical, to sexual immorality. This handsome, winsome, successful young man had attracted the attention from a very unwelcome source. Prosperity and success always opens up new temptations. And Egyptian women especially were renowned for being so immoral. Potiphar's wife lived up to that reputed reputation. And she was direct, she was insistent, she was shameless, she was scheming. And she wasn't going to give up, as we will see in her pursuit of Joseph. Joseph didn't need to go looking for this temptation or trouble. It came looking for him. Potiphar's wife, we're told, cast her eyes upon Joseph. It means that she lusted after him. She lusted after that which was not hers. She was married to Potiphar, but she allowed her sinful passions to overcome her, and she allows herself to become physically attracted to someone that she should not have and someone she could not have. One of the great blights upon our society and this immoral generation today is the problem of physical attraction to someone that the law of the Lord expressly forbids. Sexual relationships outside of marriage and before marriage is something that God expressly forbids. Potiphar's wife was sinning before she did a thing in her mind and with her lusts and with her passions. It's clear she wasn't a Christian.
But you see, that did not make her above the law of God.
Because everyone is subject to the law of God. Everyone, saved and unsaved, will give an account of themselves to God, and the standard will be the law of God. God's moral law, you see, is binding upon all people, and sin is a breaking of that law, whether you're saved or not. And so in the force of this temptation, it was physical. Joseph was being tempted into a physical relationship with someone that the law of God forbade. Not only was it physical, but we see as well in the force of this temptation, it was persistent. From verse 8 onwards, we see how that Joseph refused to yield to this temptation. But in verse number 10, we see how that she was persistent. She spake to Joseph day by day. She was going to get her own way, or so she thought. Temptation knocked on Joseph's door day by day. It never gave up. Not only was it persistent, and not only was it physical, but you'll see as well, it was private, it was all done away from the gaze of anybody else. Verse 11, it says, it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. It was all done when nobody else, and especially Potiphar, was around. It was all done in private. Did that make it any better? No. Did that make it any less of a sin? No. Because remember, the Lord sees what is done in private. Even though we may not see or nobody else may see, the Lord sees. He sees what no one else sees. And remember, folks, we're accountable not to anybody else, we're accountable to the Lord. The force of this temptation was also powerful. Verse 12, she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And she left his garment. He left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. I'm sure this evil, wicked woman wasn't used to being refused. She was used to having her own way. She was used to getting her own way. After all, she was Potiphar's wife. And how dare this young man refuse to do what she wanted him to do? This was a powerful temptation. And she used force to grab Joseph. She grabbed him, and Joseph felt the full force of this temptation from this evil, wicked woman. A very powerful thing. The attacks of Satan. A very powerful thing to meddle with sin. Joseph, for these days and weeks, felt just how forceful this temptation was. And we see not only the force of this temptation, we see as well then the fear that marked this temptation. Because in verse number 9, I believe this verse holds the key to this whole incident. While it's unsavoury, unpleasant, it's evil, it's wicked, yet this verse holds the key to the whole situation. Because we see in this verse the fear that Joseph had. But it wasn't a fear of Potiphar. It wasn't a fear of Potiphar's wife. Rather, it was a reverential, holy fear of God. And it was this fear
that marked out this temptation. And as we are tempted to sin, as the devil comes to attack us, as the devil comes to try to ruin our testimony and try to bring us down, it is this fear, not of others, but of the Lord, that should always mark our lives, particularly so when we're tempted to sin. As we think about the fear that marked this temptation, notice here the respect for the Lord. Notice the respect for the Lord. In verse 9, Joseph says, "There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against the Lord?" There we see in verse 9 the great respect that he had for the Lord. He acknowledges Potiphar has given him everything but his wife. He knew there were limits to what he could do and what he could not do. Just because he had such prominence in the land didn't give him a free ticket to do as he pleased. He realized there were boundaries. And you see, folks, as we live for God, there are boundaries, there are limits in our living for the Lord. In his secular life, in his secular work, and his secular job, you see, Joseph realized he still had boundaries to live within. We've touched on that before. Joseph, as he lived, and as he was in this place of prominence in Egypt, just didn't live as he wanted to live, or live like the rest of the world. He lived his life for the Lord. Even in his secular work, he realized there were boundaries that for the sake of the Lord, he could not cross. What a lesson for us all. In whatever sphere or realm of life we're called to be in, there are things that we must acknowledge that we cannot and should not do for the sake of the testimony of the Lord. There is a way of life that should mark out the Christian as being different. Some Christians sadly conduct their lives from Monday to Saturday as if God didn't exist. And they leave their Christian morals and they leave their Christian principles at the front door of the church on a Sunday, and they forget about them the rest of the week. That is not living for the Lord. And as we conduct our lives, whether it's at home or in the workplace or in business or wherever we are, we conduct our lives before the Lord, in the sight of the Lord, with a respect for the Lord. Realize that there are things that we cannot and we should not do. There are boundaries that we must live within as we seek to carry out our daily life and walk for God. This fear, it's seen in his respect for the Lord. But this fear as well is seen in a reality before the Lord. Look again at verse 9. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He realized he wasn't sinning against Potiphar. He realized his sin was against God. Sin, whatever shape, whatever form it takes, it's sin not against someone else, it's sin ultimately against the Lord. And if he were to engage in this activity and give in to this temptation, he would be sinning before God and against God. He realized that sin was a breaking of the law of God. this great wickedness and sin against God. Now remember, of course, we come to the stage in Genesis 39. The moral law of God has not been written down. Doesn't come for many years later until Exodus 20. We get the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not covet, so on. But Joseph realized, even before the law of God was written down, that the law of God was written upon the hearts and the conscience of man. And I say that today because there are those who claim that the Ten Commandments are not binding for today. They don't need to be observed today. Well, here's proof that the commandments of God are the eternal decrees of God upon the hearts of men and women for all time. God called sin, sin, before he ever wrote down the moral law. And Joseph knew this. Joseph remembered that God was with him. And Joseph knew that if I were to sin, I am sinning against God. And as he did so, as he made that statement at the end of verse 9, he realized, the Lord's with me here. The Lord is seeing all things here. This act, if he were to engage in it, may be done in private, but he knew, the Lord sees, the Lord's with me, and me to do this, I would be sinning against my God. Again, here is another remarkable lesson in the life of Joseph. Because here was a young man who lived his life above the fleshly desires, lived his life above the fleshly lusts. You see, here was a young man who had spiritual desires. Spiritual desires. He lived to please the Lord, not himself or anybody else. He had his eye on the Lord rather than on his lusts. I don't know if you've ever seen somebody training dogs. It's fascinating to watch. I made mention of this at Granda's funeral on Monday. Granda trained dogs, many dogs. They came from all over the country to get him to train. They're dogs, they're collie dogs. But to see the trainer get the dog to sit perfectly still, and even when in front of the dog there's placed this treat, this temptation to make them to move. And the trainer is so good that he's got them trained not to move. Not to do a thing until the command is given. And there the treat is right in front of their eyes. But the trainer has been able to get the dog's eyes off the treat and onto the master. And you see, folks, that's the secret of successful Christian living. To get our eyes off the temptations and to get our eyes on the Lord. Looking past those lusts, those pleasures, those passions, and getting our eyes on the Savior. Allowing Him to fill our lives. Allowing Him to be our supreme desire. Allowing the Lord to be our ultimate and greater pursuit. Through him we can overcome the temptations. Just as Joseph did, here was a young lad who had his eyes not on the temptations, but on the master.
And surely the lesson of Joseph's life is keep your eyes on the Lord and allow him to be your ultimate desire and love and pursuit in your life. We see this fear seen in the respect that he had for the Lord, the reality of sin before the Lord, but also we see this fear in Joseph's life in the reflection of the Lord. Joseph had gained this position in the house of Potiphar because Potiphar had seen Christ in the life of Joseph. He saw the Lord was with him. And where we're not told that, yet I've every confidence that Joseph witnessed to Potiphar. His life was a reflection of the Lord. And yet he knew, if I give in to this temptation, if I sin with this woman, my testimony will be gone. My witness for the Lord will be ineffective. Joseph realized his life, like the life of every Christian, is to be a life that reflects Christ. Remember, our actions as a Christian are a testimony to the Lord in this godless society. Everything we do, everything we say will be measured by the higher standards. Whether we like it or whether we don't, folks, that's the reality. Our lives will be read, our conduct will be examined, our actions will be accounted for. Therefore, let us not give the world any opportunity to question our faith or our love for Christ. Someone has said that it can take years to build a reputation, it just takes minutes to ruin it. Joseph realized that. And he knew that if I am to engage in this activity with Potiphar's wife, do something that the law of God has forbidden, do something that I cannot, should not do, then my testimony for the Lord will be affected. Such was the fear. Not of Potiphar, not of Potiphar's wife, not of the man in the house, but such was the fear that he had for God that marked this temptation. We see the force of this temptation. We see the fear that marked this temptation. But finally, as we close, notice the fleeing from this temptation. How did Joseph react? What did he do? Well, because of what we've already said, his fear of God, Joseph knew exactly what he was to do. Look at verse 8. He refused. He refused. Soon as she said, lie with me, but he refused. He knew he could do only one thing, and that was to refuse and to run. And folks, that's good advice. Refuse the temptation and run from it. People say it's a cowardly thing to run. But the reality is that's the best thing we should do with temptation. Don't try to negotiate it. Don't try to deal with it. Just run from it. Flee from it. He fled immediately. He refused and said on to his master's wife. Immediately, right away. He didn't try to flirt with something. He didn't somehow think, well, I'll be stronger and I'll try to deal with this my own way. He just ran immediately. He said no. He fled immediately. He fled decisively. His actions were decisive. He knew, based on what we've already said, his fear, his respect, his reverence for the Lord, he knew this was wrong, and so he was decisive. It's wrong in every level. He fled immediately. He fled decisively. He fled repeatedly. Even when, as we read in verse 10, day by day she came,
She thought she could wear him down. By her continued advances and constant advances, she thought, I'll get my own way eventually. But repeatedly, again and again, he fled. Oh, how we must be resolute in our dealing with sin day after day, because every day, the Lord is out, hot on your heels to bring you down. In verse number 12, we see that he fled from the place of temptation. She caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. Whatever temptation it is that the Lord lays before us, may not be this physical sexual temptation such as we read of here, but whatever temptation it is, run from it. Flee from it. Forsake it. Run from it. Run to Christ. The words of the wise man in Proverbs 4, verse 15 are very applicable in this situation. Concerning temptation, concerning sin, he says, avoid it. Avoid it. Pass not by from it. Turn from it and pass away. In other words, refuse it and run from it. Forsake it and flee from it. Joseph wanted nothing to do with Potiphar's wife. Of course, contrast that with Samson, who told Delilah all his heart. Samson's story ended in tragedy because he didn't flee. But Joseph's story ended in triumph because he did flee. Right away. Constantly. Martin Luther said, you cannot keep birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair. You can't keep birds from flying over your head, and we can't keep Satan from tempting us. He will do it. But I tell you what, we can stop him and not give in to his temptations. Run from temptation, forsake it, and flee it. Have nothing to do with it. Joseph had the Lord with him. And that presence obviously was so precious, so special, he knew nothing was worth losing that presence of the Lord. That was too high a price for him to pay. Now, as we live for the Lord, may we ever realize the temptations. May we ever be aware that Satan is out to tempt us every day. And may we ever seek by the grace of God and by the help of the Lord to run from those temptations, to live for the Lord and not for our lusts. Remembering all the time, we are ambassadors for him. Our lives are to testify and to glorify the Lord in all that we do. We'll go on to see how that Joseph, in his fleeing, in his running from the temptation, landed him in trouble. But it was trouble and a price he was ready to pay for. Because to give in to temptation, and to allow his testimony to be ruined, marred, something he was not willing to do, even though it was going to cost him, and it did, as we'll see. Yield not to temptation, hymn writer says. Ask the Savior to help you. He will carry you through. He did it for Joseph, and he'll do it for us. Keep our eyes on the Lord. Keep our eyes on him. Run to him, and he will see us through.